You are now listening to the EU Startups Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the EU Startups Podcast. As always, I'm your host, David Sennin-Garcia, the news editor here at EU Startups. Today, I chat with Enrico Giacomelli. He's the founder of the Italian company Namirial. Now, for those of you that don't know, Namirial is a digital trust, a digital identification and transaction company. It's been around in one shape or another since the early 90s, and since then has evolved and progressed to focus on different elements and different customers. Enrico is actually quite willing to talk about all of this with me, especially the evolution of the company when we're talking about its progression through the digital age, whether it's the internet boom, the AI boom that we're currently living in, the way the company has adopted all of that, and even what it's like to grow in Italy versus the rest of Europe versus the rest of the world, and how Europe compares when we're talking about regulation. So I hope you're looking forward to that. But before, a quick message from our sponsor, Vet.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority, but to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. And obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vonta comes in. Vonta is the all-in-one compliance solution, helping startups like yours get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. How? Vonta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. And the platform connects you with trusted VCSOs to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vonta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including many Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vonta. Simplify compliance and get $1,000 off at vonta.com/EU startups. That's vanta.com/EU startups.
Okay, Enrico, thank you very much for coming on the EU Startups podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Of course, of course. We've just been having such a great conversation that I was worrying that I was going to miss it without clicking record. So I'm glad we could get started.
I like to speak.
Yes. Good. I think
I'm like a salesman. So, you know, that the salesmen have to speak a lot and maybe try to sell. This is my job, at least. I was born, you know, like a waiter. We just spoke about these things because one of, for me, much important things or a soft skill is the empathy with the person. You know, You have to know the person, you know, and also the gut feeling is really important because you have to recognize the people and try to understand what they need. The customers, yes. First of all, and okay. My story is quite funny because I start with a partner early in the 91. It was December of 91, last cycle, you know. And I met this guy, and this guy said to me, we have to do some business together. Okay. And about what? Computer. I love computer. I have got my Commodore 64. But I'm not really, you know, I'm not programmer. And he said, okay, better. Because you have to sell. And so we did our first company. And our first investment was 5 million of lira, means 2,500 euros.
Okay.
And, you know, we start, it was quite funny, the story, because we start to give for free software for the accountant for free. Mm. And we sold paper, you know, data paper that you can't, remember because he wasn't there. But they use, you know, the printer with the piece of paper and so on. And this was our first business. And for this is quite nothing because I start to sell paper and now we do dematerialization. So the ring is closed.
Well, actually talk a little bit more about that, because I think it me that I've done research for this chat that we're having now. I looked into the history of the company Namibial, and it's just, it's covered so many things. I mean, it's been around since, you say, you know, the first idea since 1991. And I want you just to kind of walk us through everything that it's been and what it is now, because I think that's actually quite fascinating for an ecosystem that's always a company does one specific thing and that's what they do for their whole existence. Namibial seems to have covered all of it, really, in the space that you work in.
Really, but one of in my I'm really old, and one of the most important things in a life, at least, and now I become more, you know, follower of the Darwin law, you know, and if you don't change, some other eat you and you disappear. Now the problem is, you know, when Darwin drew the law, he understood they need, you know, cycles and so on. Now the problem is the time, because, you know, when I spoke now with, we try to thinking what in the next few, I change also the time, because I don't use years, I use months, and nobody can understand in the next 40, 50, 60 months what can happen. Because thinking about AI and quantum computing, nobody can't thinking what can how can the world can change, really. And when I speak with some, you know, humanistic and philosopher and so on, and we said in the last cycle, some people like Asimov, like George Orwell, now thinking about, you know, the next 50, 100 years. And I'm really now philosopher, humanistic people doesn't know what can happen in the next 60, 40, 50 more. It's easy to understand. You know, this is really really, I was lucky because I lived the internet transition, you know, when the internet arrived and how can start. I remember we worked in 2000 with banks, for example, and we organized, I remember, organized a big meeting. And we are speaking about direct marketing and so on. And all the banks, the people from the bank said, oh, we are the internet website. And no. And I remember a Microsoft guy said, you're not an internet site. You have the tombstone, because the name, you know, where you live, the phone number, on. And it was funny. And thinking how many here needs to arrive to use internet, you know. And I saw this revolution. Now all have the iPhone or smartphone and so on, and you can have quite old things on your phone. And also remember the one of another really important skill is understand the time. because you have to write in the right time. You can have a great idea, a great product, but you have to find the right time. This is really a game changer.
Yeah.
So because I had this experience. One time is arrived too early. We spent a lot of money and we do nothing because we did program a software on who runs under Windows 3.1 and the software was amazing, but to run 3.11, you need 20 minutes just to open the PC. And so we run the time. Okay.
Well, I find that interesting. I do. And there's this thing you're talking about here that you've lived through the internet boom. You know, now we're in the digital age, the AI age, and all these things. And you're talking about kind of, you know, all the things that are different and the way they impacted. I'm curious, too, to hear kind of what led you through all that, because you stayed consistent and you've grown consistently through what has been probably some of the most turbulent changes when you're talking about kind of building a company in modern history. And I want to hear a little bit more about that, about how, what kept you consistent through all that.
Okay. This is really, I start from Machiavelli. You know,
okay.
I did humanistic studies, so to demonstrate also how is important philosophy and humanistic study. I used to use what Machiavelli said on the principe, the prince, and he said the principe needs 50% of virtute. Okay, you have to be, you know. You have to be right person and so on. But the other 50% have to be lucky. If you're not lucky, you did nothing. And I used to say, this is for the people who have to start a company or have a great idea and so on. You have to really understand the time and the market. Because you can have a fantastic idea. You can do something of, you know, some products revolutionary, but if you have not the market, you can do money. You have to sell. This is my, you know, this is my motto. First of all, you have to sell. You can sell a fridge in the North Pole, but you have to sell. This is my idea of company for and the spirit, the real, the right spirit is to have the right vision, the really, you know, animal spirits of the entrepreneur is the instinct. You have to have the right instinct, and the instinct is how you can arrive in the right moment in the market. This is, for me, what can change an history of a startup of a new company also. This is my experience. And also, starting what you said, and also is the really important, the resiliency. We start to sell paper, and now we sell dematerialization. So really jump around. was quite funny. And you have to be ready to try to understand with your gut feeling, with your instinct, what the market needs, and then sell it.
And how do you, and I'm curious actually, because how does that apply within Italy itself? Because, you know, we don't really hear about Italy a lot. It's slowly emerging when it comes to Europe, when it comes to companies, when it comes to tech. In particular, there's a lot of ed tech coming out of Italy. That's interesting. But I'm curious because we're going back in time. I'm not trying to age you or anything, but we're talking a few years back, right? And you started at a moment where Italy really wasn't established, at least as far as I can tell, looking back at the level it is now. So what was that like building within maybe a country that didn't have a lot of guidelines on how to do that? Was there something differently that you had to do? And also, if you let me continue on with the question, I know it's already pretty long, but then once you start extending, and I know you went global eventually through Europe, then globally, what was that change like? Were there things where you thought, oh, this was so much easier in Italy, now it's so much harder in Europe, so much harder in Latin America?
If you can start a company in Italy, you can go all over the world, because for sure it's easier go around the world. In Italy, it's not really easy to do, you know, as to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And, when you are angry, you can do this thing. Okay. But the question is really big. I try to organize all my thinking, my thought. Okay, in Italy. Okay, I was born in Italy, so I used to, and when I was young, I never went abroad. So I born here. I study here in Italy. I start to work here when I was a young guy, and I start to do my first company also in Italy. And so for me, it's normal to try to do business in Italy. Mm. In Italy, we are quite lucky because, first of all, the spirits, you know, mm-hmm. you have to run. When you're born, you have to start to run, you know, and what was another period. Now it's changed. I was born in 1964, you know. after 25 years after the Second World War, you know, mm-hmm. 25 years.
Yeah.
And the war is really completely different from now, of course. But this is, you know, is a message to old guy all over the world, because you can board in China, in Africa, in US, in South America, or in Spain, so on. Mm. In all the countries, the same. Do technology, or for sure, I'm not a programmer. My degree is in political science. I'm not also, business administration, nothing. I'm really curious, you know, and I start this conversation speaking about the sales. Now you have to ride in the right time to the market and so on. So for these things, I think you have to see what the market asks to you. This is my lodestar, you know. For me, it's really important to speak with the customer, try to understand the problem, and try to solve the problem. If you can solve the problem, you can sell, you can earn money, and you can do more investment and grow and so on, you know. But now we are speaking about the first part of the company, of course, in the startup. And also now the startups environment is really different since 50 years ago, 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, because now the I used to meet a lot of startupper and so on, and maybe they have a great idea and arrive to me with some slides, some videos, and they said, "Oh, our pre-money was 5 million. 5 million or what? Did you sell something? Not yet. Okay, zero is the value of your company." Mm-hmm. Of course, you can start from an idea of an idea of software, an idea of products, an idea of something. You have to start from something. Mm-hmm. But this is my experience. This is my opinion. So it's good for me, maybe not for all. But the first thing, you have to be clear when you have to arrive. And to do money, you have to sell something, an idea, product, a software, and so on. Mm. And to earn money, you need income.
Yeah.
To have the income, you can't think just about the venture capital. Because, okay, venture capitalists can help you to do investment and maybe have some money to have two pizzas at the night. But it's not the target of it's not your target, the startup target, the target of a new startup. This is my opinion. Yeah. This is really important because a lot of people who grow up, you know, in this environment, I have a great idea, I raise 5 million, 10 million or whatever. You do nothing if, of course, you can maybe you have you need research, you need develop and so on, and you need also money. Mm. But for me, my experience, you have to be ready to the market. So
And on that, I think you kind of bring up an interesting point here because there's one line, and I was doing research into Namaria that kind of popped out to me, and it was the AI first company, right? And we're talking here about evaluation of something that is difficult to say what exists and what doesn't. Are you selling something? Are you not? And right now, there's a lot of talk about AI bubble, you know, and there's so many companies right now that have their basis, their backbone being AI. And I'm curious to hear about Namidia's kind of how it's gone into that, because you were there before AI was really even just a thought, you know, and now you are integrating it.
Yeah,
and I want to hear about what
It's easy. At least is what I said. Resiliency. Mm. Now arrived the AI. Okay. The AI can change how to solve the problem for my customer? Yes. We can save money because we need less time, less people, and so on. Okay. And we have to use the what is on the market now, like internet. We saw, you know, I remember, okay, it's too long. In another interview. but we, I and also the company, at least start under the internet bubble, you know. Mm-hmm. And now we are ready. We understood what can really change the AI. And we understood we have to be an... Now, for example, what means AI first? For us, means we have a problem. Customer have a problem, or we have to solve a problem. And first of all, we ask, or the CIO, the CTO, the CIO, the question is, can we solve using AI? This is the first question. Maybe, yes. Okay, let's use the AI to solve the problem. Or maybe solve all the problem sometime. This is what, when we said AI first. The third question is, can we solve by AI? Not yet. Okay, let's solve in an old style and maybe put some AI in and do the recipe and serve the pizza.
A very Italian metaphor, yeah. If I can say so. Okay. No, it makes sense. It's just, I think it's a natural question to come up, especially because your advice really here to people starting is make sure you have something solid that can sell, right? And that's kind of the question
this
right
is,
now with
this
AI.
Is my experience.
Yes, yes. No. And we want to hear from you, of course.
I don't know if I think, you know, I'm not really, I changed to use the adjective humble with down to the hurt is bad. I'm down to the hurt, you know. Mm-hmm. I come from the hurt and down to the hurt. Of course, I haven't got, some people ask me, oh, what's the recipe to become a unicorn company? If I had the recipe, I sell the recipe to all the world. You know, you have to be a lot of ingredients to do the right, to arrive to as a unicorn company, no?
Of course. And well, that's why we're picking your brain here, trying to see what the best... the best things are. And leading with that, I want to ask too, because we're EU startups, right? So our focus is Europe, European companies. And the major critique when it comes to building a company in Europe is always number one, regulation, especially if we're talking about versus
this
the
is
US.
The second, the last thing is what I would like to say to you.
Perfect. Then Namiria, please go ahead.
Namiria at least is an erect company. Sometimes we start from the regulation, and I can speak about, in Italy becomes mandatory 15 years ago for all the company registered in a Chamber of Commerce, Chamber of Commerce, was mandatory of the digital signature and the qualified electronic in Italy is called PEC, qualified electronic delivery.
Okay.
Becomes mandatory, you know. And becomes mandatory. Why? Because you have to sell your turnover, your old information to the Chamber of Commerce every year. Thinking in Italy, we are full of companies thinking, every year, millions of people arrive in the office of the Chamber of Commerce with tons of paper. And so the Chamber of Commerce start to, to do these things. Okay, no more paper, just a electronic signed turnover balance sheet and so on. And the people, okay, now I have my digital signature, but with the digital signature, I can sign also a rent contract or a bank account contract or, a lot of things, because if you think how much paper do you use every day? Okay, not now. Thinking about 20 years ago, 14 years, 15 years ago. Also, the QRDS in Italy is called PEC, qualified electronic email, at least. That also under the European law, under EIDAS. And the other funny story was in Italy, we start with the digital signature and so on. And when the Europe had to do the law for all the countries, of course, they have to be aligned to the ITIST law, local law. Of course, Italians do it better. The Italian law was unbelievable. And so all the people have followed the Italian, and we were particularly lucky because we used, what we used maybe was a new thing for a German, for a people, for French people, mm-hmm. or Spanish. Another things, thinking about the electronic invoice. Electronic invoice becomes mandatory in Italy in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next, until 2027, all European countries have to do electronic invoice. So we start to do electronic invoice since 2019. We have 7 years, 8 years of experience. But not only in Europe. Last year start Malaysia. Next year we start Emirates.
Right.
And another thing, we are really present also in LATAM. And 2 years ago when I were the first time in LATAM, and because we participate to a really important meeting called ID Foro in Quito, we were, and I spoke with people from Paraguay, Ecuador, or Argentina, and so on. Yeah. And the Spanish-speaking country has the electronic invoice since 20 years. You know, okay. They had 20 years more than European. Why? Because with the electronic invoice, the government can control, of course, the VAT, the incomes, and so on. And for these things, the Italian government asked to the Europe, can we start 7 years before the other countries? And also Spain now, they move to the next year, you know, right. But this is, I know you sent me a lot of questions, but now we change, we
it's all right. It's a flowing conversation.
It's a flowing conversation. Mm-hmm. This is my view. If all countries, not only in Italy, in Europe, in LATAM, in Southeast Asia, they do electronic invoice. Also, I'm sure the next, the next countries will be the African countries.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things to do also in countries like Africa, because I'm really convinced will be the new interesting market, because we also can help the countries, mm-hmm. We help to grow the countries, not just the companies and the people. We mm-hmm. do something, for example, in Latin America, we work a lot also with the public administration and, government organization and so on. With the dematerialization, mm-hmm. you really help the countries. Thinking about another thing, so in Italy we are pioneer. We have the digital identity. Our country is called SPID, is mm-hmm. The digital identity. But under COVID period, all the Italian citizens can write in a public administration side, hospitals, and a lot of things by our identity, electronic identity. And so now we are speaking about wallet, European wallet, and so on. Okay, one of the first pillars, of the four pillars of Namiriel are the onboarding, recognize the people. And there's a new law is arriving now in Europe by Etsy and so on, because we have to recognize the people. Give the digital identity. Mm-hmm. Also, the digital signature becomes from your identity or becomes from your digital identity. And then you can sign a document. And, a little interruption on these things. If you speak with 100 people and if you ask, do you know what is the digital signature, maybe 5% can understand. But if you speak about cybersecurity, maybe 80% can understand. At least what we do. Yeah. We used to have a piece of paper. This piece of paper comes from a file, a PDF. And with the digital signature, you can sign a document and then conserve long-term, do the long-term archiving and so on. And in the next 10 years, I can control if the signature, if the document is, if it's not corrupted, is okay. If you change something, we have the, we use the SHA 256 and so on. And the, if it's not correct, the document is not good or is corrupted. Thinking about, at least we do, we are a red tech and we do cybersecurity at least. This is an interesting point of view of what our industry is do.
Okay. Well,
I wish we could. You're interested in these things. Okay.
No. It's just, you're covering okay. so many different things.
I'm not finished the pillars. The other pillars are here. Okay. You have to know how to send. You have to be sure, you know. And also AIDAS have this law is for the QRDS, Qualified Electronic Delivery System. And we are click. We have the timestamp of the European community. And also the last part is the long-term archiving. Because thinking, I used to say this example. Sometimes in Italy or in other country, so maybe they found the first payslip of Warren Buffett. I don't know if he's correct. No? He's the original payslip, the first payslip. And now our payslip is not a piece of paper. It's a file, you know. Or thinking in a school, you know, the vote of Alessandro Manzoni. In Italy we have the document when Alessandro Manzoni finished high school. And in the next 50 years, nobody. my payslip, also your digital diploma.
Right. I still have mine physical, but yes, it's almost not there anymore. Yeah.
But not anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you've covered so much, Enrico. And I didn't expect for the 30 minutes that we have to be able to cover over 30 plus years. To be able to cover the 30 odd years of everything that you're talking about. But I do think we covered a good amount. And I want to thank you for coming on. It's been a real pleasure. Very interesting.
Thank you.
And I hope we can talk again.
I'd really like to... If I can, do a light inspiration, because I'm sure the entrepreneur really helped the world. Not good. The politician, the entrepreneur.
I like that. That'll be our little social media bite right there.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Enrico.
Ciao.